Hello, everybody.
Well, I'm so angry at you. I'm not.
Last week, maybe.
Last week, I was angry at the world.
Oh, this beer smells wonderful.
You were just, you got caught in the...
collateral damage.
Exactly.
I haven't gone back to listen, but if I recall right, I basically had enough of you being short with me all night and just said, what the fuck, right?
Yes, that's pretty much exactly what happened, yeah. Yeah, enough of my pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Not quite obscene. It wasn't obscenely bad, but it was just, it was rigorously uncomfortable behavior, I suppose you can say, the entire night. I just was not on, and I apologize to everybody for that, but... that's neither here nor there. That's in the past. So
tonight we're gonna have the best show ever.
Well, one hopes. What are we on? We're on 241, right?
Yeah,
which is a double prime of 239. So it's another prime show.
Holy shit! Okay,
so make a point of that. Yeah, it's been much better week, much better day for me. So as it turns out, so.
That's good. Excellent. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to bring up? I got something.
I have stuff, but...
So, yeah, go on. Did you see The Daily Show with Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes, the new opening.
Well, a couple things are fascinating. So, people who don't watch Daily Show rigorously, two times ago when Neil deGrasse Tyson was on, he commented to Jon Stewart that in the open, the globe was spinning the wrong way.
Right.
From, like, if you were sitting out in space watching the globe spin. And the last time he was on, they still didn't fix it, and I think he made a quick remark about it. And then, you know, so this time it was shot on an iPhone type thing,
right.
And it was just a globe spinning and whatnot.
It was like somebody in an office spinning an actual globe. Right. Instead of the graphics, it was somebody in an office spinning a globe, like, really fast. And then they panned to the window to show a taxi so that it was in New York, because that right. started to sound. And then a cup that said The Daily Show.
Instead of a graphic, right.
Yeah.
It was a nice package. You know, and it was fun, the intro monologue, you know, Jon Stewart explained it and, you know, poked a little fun at Neil deGrasse Tyson. The reason I bring it up, though, is Neil deGrasse Tyson took a very different tone on that show than I've ever heard him before. Usually when he's on the air, on his own show or on other shows, he is beyond kind, beyond, you know... In full science communicator mode. And when he was on the show with Jon Stewart, maybe he's good friends with Jon Stewart. Maybe it was a little more, you know, hanging out with the guys. But, you know, he was a little more quippy.
Yeah, I think...
Mean's not the right word,
no, I mean,
but, I mean, for Neil deGrasse Tyson, it was a lot meaner than he ever has been, you know?
Well, because I think that the thing is that it's... He was essentially playing a character. He was playing "quote unquote" Neil deGrasse Tyson. He was not. He's not being, you know, himself, or at least the himself that he portrays in most places. But he was playing a character that has been developed on The Daily Show.
Oh, okay.
So and because there was, you know, the thing about the opening and all that, all those jokes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he took it on the angle, which was an entertaining angle, if you ask me. Which was to be a little bit more combative.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely... Combative is the right way to put it. And it was just different, right? Watching him, you know, like, several times, he's like... Jon Stewart's like, well, when you say it that way, it makes me feel really stupid, you know? And it's like, that's the opposite of what Neil deGrasse Tyson ever does, you know? But it was kind of true, you know? The way he was being combative about it.
I think he was playing his part, and you know, he's savvy. He's a savvy guy, and he can play his part well if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And no one... I read message boards on TV and stuff, and that's one of the things I keep up with is the Daily Show and Colbert Report message boards, because sometimes I don't necessarily watch an episode, but someone will comment that was a really good skit, and then I'll go and look and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like this last week, it's actually been the Colbert Report was running amazing skits.
Okay. I have them all taped. I haven't really watched too many of them this week.
But no one commented that they thought Neil deGrasse Tyson was... All the comments were, he's awesome. Just he's awesome. Mm-hmm. So he's clearly playing his part well.
Yeah, I think I enjoy him leaning towards that character more than him leaning towards the explainer-in-chief that he, you know, normally does. you know, he did, he was speaking to a deep, a higher level audience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't higher level, it was, you know, he wasn't worried about leaving you behind, even though he wasn't really getting the deep concepts. He wasn't full, you know, explain mode. Like talking about the period of these kind of comments and stuff like that. And, you know, getting in, I was expecting him to really explain the difference between a 50-foot wide comet and a city killer and a continent killer and things like that. But he kind of assumed people knew those types of things and how it goes from 100 years to thousands of years, you know, period type thing for the probability of something like that happening. And, you know, it was different because he normally would explain that to the crowd.
Right. So I think that the time that would be taken up by explaining those concepts was taken up by him playing his character and mm-hmm. shooting barbs back at John. And then the part of him actually having some informational aspect was right. him doing some stuff, but yeah, he didn't go through the steps of explaining, which he doesn't have to because, I mean, the people who go in there, like, you know, the president of Iran or some painter mm-hmm. or someone who wrote up, you know, the Supreme Court justice, they don't have to explain all the steps.
Right.
So why should Neil deGrasse Tyson have to explain all his steps?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Just, it was neat seeing, I like that Neil deGrasse Tyson, character or not, you know, maybe if I went to a lecture of the appropriate level.
I've seen his stuff, and I think, and I've listened to, I mean, this podcast is a little bit more genial than that, but mm-hmm. He can get kind of Barbie. he can get
combative.
Yeah, he can get combative, and I think that's more his character, and I think that's sort of probably why he has become so popular. Not just because he's a good explainer, because there are other good explainers. I could name a couple, but he also has a character about him that is appealing to people. So he's more than just like Sean Carroll or Lawrence Krauss. Or even Brian Greene.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see a Star Talk Live with geeky comedians. You know, like sometimes they get them, and sometimes one of them knows what he's talking about. But you know, there's always
Gene Merman has a pretty good idea what's going on.
Yeah, but usually, you know, they bring in people that are, you know, just there, and they're just, you know, they're mm-hmm. just they're funny quips, they're smart quips, but they're not smart quips. They're not, you know, science quips, and it'd be great if like. You know, who, E.G. Merman, but, you know, some of the guys
Patton from... Patton Oswalt would probably be a good one.
Some of the guys from The Nerdist, you know, I mean, they're not straight-up comedians, but
they'd
be able to take, you know...
Matt Myra would definitely be able to...
Yeah.
And probably Jonah Ray, too. I don't know about Chris Hardwick. Well, yeah, actually, Chris Hardwick does have a pretty good knowledge of that stuff. So, yeah, The Nerdist guys would probably be able to do well. Maybe Myra's more in the music and TV mm-hmm. side. But anyway...
Anyway, so the Improv for Humans, best podcast ever.
Yes.
So I saw that and I went and listened to it. And I've listened to the one with Paul Rust in the beginning.
It's on video. There's a video, of that one. And
so I'm not going to, you know, cast final judgment until I listen to the whole thing. But I'm just listening to him like. There's just something about the Improv Greg loves that misses me or something. It reminds me of a lot of the stuff you've had me listen to before. And it's just like, I'm kind of take it or leave it. I don't know, but maybe it gets better. Maybe I haven't got to the good stuff yet. I think I've listened to, you know, when they got up to a little bit past the Titanic role play. I'm trying to think exactly when I got home and what they were on.
I had to think of that episode. There are so many episodes that they all kind of they come together, but there's been just moments where I've just been rolling on the floor because of stuff they've done. Stuff that, I mean, they come up with just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
I
it's
need to find some of
amazing.
These gold moments because
I would watch the one with Lennon Parham and who was on there? Was Horatio Sands on that one? No. That was really, but it was John Gemberling and I'll send him.
Okay.
But it's I think it's the first one that's on the Earwolf YouTube page for them. It was really funny, and there were some moments that were just it just goes in really weird places, and that, and I sort of love that that spirit. And I don't know, it may not be for everybody, but it is objectively the best podcast in the universe. So
objectively.
So yeah.
Improv for humans.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm being facetious, obviously.
Talk about a guy that does not have a voice. I mean, his voice for radio is about as good as mine.
That's, yeah. But it doesn't matter because he's funny. He's hilarious. Yeah.
I turned it on. I'm like, wow, someone with a voice as bad as mine doing a podcast.
he's a legend in the improv scene. And he built the UC. He's, you know, one of the main people who built the UCB. He was part of the original group, and then he made the theaters. He was the one who ran the theaters and made that into the institution that it is now.
Gotcha.
So he's big time. The new Del Close, really.
And who was the old Del Close?
Del Close.
I vaguely recognize the name, but I don't know anything about
the person. He created long-form improv, basically. Okay. So short-form improv is, you know, the Whose Line Is Anyway stuff. Mm-hmm. But long-form improv is really about building scenes, and it's really about having a structure to the whole thing, so it loops back on itself and it brings up concepts from before, and there's a whole lot of team dynamic, a whole lot of different stuff going on. And he built a concept called the Herald. This is all improv theory and stuff, so I won't bore people with it.
Okay.
But because it would take too long to explain, and believe it or not, the science stuff is takes less time to explain than the improv stuff. Because the improv stuff is all about connections and emotions and figuring each other out, and then playing on sort of different games and different levels. So there's a whole lot more explaining to do, as it turns out. It's just a complicated beast. But if you do it right, and I'm not saying I can do it right because I'm not, but I'm considering taking classes. If you do it right, you can work wonders. You can do amazing stuff. And you can basically, you know, you can then build off of that to make your other things. Like most of the UCB on the TV show, a lot of their sketches were based on stuff they did in their improv. And they found a scene and they found a funny idea, and then they just elaborated on that into a sketch.
Right. Cool.
How about that Chavez guy?
That Chavez guy. Hugo. Hugo Chavez.
Hugo, yes.
He's dead. He's going to be hanging around Venezuela for a very long time.
He's going to be in like a Lenin tomb, right? He's going to be...
Yeah, embalmed and behind under glass, keeping an eye on things.
Is it really...
What non-communist dictatorship does that to their... Has anyone... Like, I was trying to think, like, okay, so we got Mao, you got Lenin.
Us... We don't necessarily put the bodies up. We make giant monuments to them.
Well, sure.
We make big Lincoln monuments. The only reason why we don't put the body up is because either we didn't have the technology at the time, or they're too old and decrepit, or they got their head shot off. So
technically, they're not monuments. They're memorials. The only monument is the Washington Monument.
Okay.
Everything else is a memorial.
Okay. But still, we build...
Right, but okay, so, okay, fine. I get the point you're making. Yeah. But I'm like, there has to be some other head of state that is embalmed that's non-communist. But, like, I can't think of any, you know.
I don't know. It's a weird kind of thing, but humans are weird people. We think there's something left in that mass of matter.
Well, there's all kinds of symbolism. There's things there. I mean,
only because we imbibe it with the symbolism. We could imbibe this pencil with the symbolism.
But the pencil hasn't done shit.
Yes, but if I call this pencil Steve, right?
Mm-hmm.
This pencil Steve.
Oh, broke Steve.
And a little bit of you died inside. Just a little bit.
A lot died.
Because I broke Steve.
Did you see the tip on that pencil?
Before I called it Steve, it was just a pencil. But once I called it Steve...
Look at the tip on that pencil. Now it's half a pencil.
I just wanted to point out, this is what we do naturally. We imbibe things with souls and subs. We personalize things. We give things. We make things human. that's what we do. We connect with things. So if you have something that seems even easier to connect with than a pencil, even better.
Mm-hmm.
What's easier to connect with than a human body? Not
sure,
much.
Sure.
A statue of a human is close, but not quite.
Bloody sock. How much did that thing go for at that auction? Did they have that auction yet?
With the Schilling Bloody Sock?
Yeah.
Kurt Schilling?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Actually, Bloody Sock Part 2, because he threw up Bloody Sock Part 1.
Oh, okay.
Second Bloody Sock, he did it in the Hall of Fame, but now he needs cash because his video game company went tits up. And so he pulled this sock out of the Hall of Fame, and he's auctioning it off.
And someone's going to buy it for a lot of money.
But it wasn't the one where they beat the Yankees, right? It was, instead of like Game 6, it was the next series. It was in the World Series, like Game 2.
Oh, really?
So it's that Bloody Sock.
Well, but I mean, although for Boston, and remember, you know, I'm a Yankees fan, but still, for Boston, while beating the Yankees was essentially the World Series, and the World Series was sort of the coda, sort of the afterthought,
right?
It was... They had been to the World Series before, like in 86, but they hadn't won that. So winning the World Series was still...
Right.
You know, that was the goal they had to accomplish. It wasn't just beating the Yankees, even though that was more important for the fans. For the franchise, it was still more important that they actually did win the World
Series. You should buy the sock and then, like, burn it. And then, like, because to get back at those Red Sox fans.
You're assuming that I care and that I'm putting, you know, and that I'm personalizing and personifying a sock, and I'm not.
That's the whole point of the conversation.
It's a sock with blood on it. That's what you throw that out.
I know.
It's worse than a cum sock. Maybe not worse, but it's on the same level.
Yeah, it's about the same level. It depends how cummy the sock is, right?
If it's
super crusty, it's not as bad as a cum sock.
You know, but...
Okay, my cum sock, you would have to handle. How about that?
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, how long do you keep a cum sock? Because at a certain point, it stops becoming a cum sock and starts to become sort of a receptacle that used to be a sock. So...
But then it'll get too crusty to use, and
yeah,
then what? And then you auction it off.
You either auction it off or you buy a new one. Socks are relatively cheap.
All right.
This is what we've devolved into.
So, Hugo Chavez, you have anything else you want to say?
No,
we're
going to
start off into the body thing, and...
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I you know, it's a new story. I wanted to see if there was anything...
Well, if we're talking about crazy dictators, what the fuck's up with North Korea?
You just said, in the beginning of your sentence, you said exactly what is up with North Korea.
But, oh, man, we're going to fucking bomb the United States.
Yeah.
Because that won't incur any kind
because
of
it's
repercussion.
Like, no, it's just, I want attention, I'll bomb you with nukes.
I really will, I swear.
It's just dumb. It's just... There's other shit going on in the world right now, and so North Korea is not taking top priority, and so North Korea is trying to do whatever they can to get attention. It's like a 5-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe younger. I don't know. But...
I was slightly optimistic that this kid would be, you know, having gone to school in Europe and whatnot, would be kind of sane. But I guess when you're, you know, you go back home and you're just surrounded by this lunacy, you forget about the real world.
Yeah, and you don't know how much it is that he's actually in charge. I get the feeling he's more of a figurehead and there are people behind the scenes that are running things.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? No one knows, right?
I mean, you know, they have to keep up the illusion that it was, you know, that it's his son. It's this guy's son because Kim Jong-il was, you know, such a force. So they have to keep up this illusion. They can't just bring something new onto the stage. But this kid, I don't think this kid is...
I wonder if he's performed any miracles yet.
Yeah, I think he already has. If you go by the North Korean news.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, like the hole in one, you know, right. Or 12 hole in ones the first time he played golf or whatever, you know, Kim Jong Il. Yeah, he was defined, so I'm curious if Kim Jong Un has done any divine miracles yet. I haven't heard of any, you know, brought up in the popular news, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, that would make maybe some more digging than I'd care.
Oh, that's
to do.
One thing I would like to see in them. They mentioned it, but I wanted Neil deGrasse Tyson's opinion on the Iranian space monkey. I hope they would have went down that path a little bit more. That would have been fun. I would have liked to hear that.
I think he would have said something along the lines of, "At least they're putting people things in space."
Maybe.
Even though we're actually putting stuff in space all the time, it's just not exploring, more using. Okay, so one of the things I want to... should I talk about this, or should I talk about this?
That.
Well, we'll talk about this one later.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about this. Got a nice email from Justin, and he was just responding to the last show, and I sent back to him a thank you for his response, and also I talked to him about a project that I'm really thinking of doing, and the more I've thought about it, the more I think definitely can be done. I may need to learn a couple new technologies for it to work on our system, but I want to make a database. A CBR database, so that people can search all of our shows, find what beers we had, you know, find like if a beer has been reviewed in our shows, where it's been reviewed, how it was ranked, and even down to the point where you can get the time codes of where we reviewed it, and even possibly like things that we've, adjectives and ways that we described it. I have this whole picture in my head of how
ambitious, man.
Of how I can do this, of how you can do this database, and you can basically build it modular, so you can keep it simple and then add things to it later.
Mm-hmm.
With it's the center object obviously being the shows. We build it around the shows, and then we have beers over here, which will link back to the beer, to the beer companies, and then we can have like vintages off of the beers. And then tastings that will go back to the shows.
Sure, sure. No, I get it. I mean, the database part is cool. The hard problem of this project is collecting and entering the data.
Yes, and that is where you guys come in. What I want to do is build something, and I believe I'll have at least a couple weeks of downtime to do this, to build at least something for entering in that data, or at least say, hey, if you would like to send an email, I'll assign you one show. You can listen to it and pick out the time codes for when we talked about the beer and just send that back to us. If we get, 200 people doing that, then it makes it a lot easier.
I wonder if there's any kind of audio indexing software, like text to speech or speech to text, like we pipe the shit through Siri, pipe everything through Siri. No, but I mean, because if we could get, if somehow we could get transcriptions, and have that part of the indexed data.
I'm sure we could get like 80% accurate transcriptions, which would be a messy thing, but you'd still be able to see basically where things happened. But
I'm not familiar with any APIs we can plug into, for free.
Well, can you just play it into DragonSpeak and have it transcribe?
Yeah, that kind of thing would have to go at real time, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that would be months of playing with one computer, be playing, into Dragon for months.
Yeah, but if you do it, if you are able to set it up so you do it at night, you could do 8-9 shows,
and I'm sure there are pay services and pay APIs. That's not our budget, right? So it's like, how can we do this on the cheap? Everyone hooked their iPhone to the thing and have Siri transcribe it.
I mean, I don't necessarily want transcriptions of the show. I mean, that could be added at a later point, but I don't think that's necessary. I like the idea of, at the very least, cataloging the beers and the shows. But I also like the idea of being able to pinpoint, okay, here's where on the show we talked about this particular beer. Even though that's not the goal of the project. The goal of the project is we tried to make a wiki a long time ago, and I think the wiki software sucks, and it's asking a lot of people to do it. And you just need to have at least a person who's dedicated to it, who wants to do it. And I think I'll have some time to do this, and it'd be a fun project, and I can learn like Ruby on Rails or something like that while I do it. And that'll be fun, I think, for me to just.
I mean, you can definitely build the database, right? I mean, fun project. I agree with you 100%. Fun project, thinking out the relational database. The innovative part is making it easy for people to enter data. But, you know, it's not just like assigning someone a show. You almost need to have a training lesson on here's the style guide for how to capture this data, you know, like, you know, so you get consistent data from everyone.
Well, you can either do it that way, or you can, if you get enough response, which I don't know if we will, I doubt we will, but if you get enough response, you give the same show to multiple people and you get the results and you can sort of average them out and you can sort of statistically say, okay, it's probably in this range. Right. So even without giving goals of that nature, you can just give it to as many people as possible, and then you're going to get roughly the region. I mean, that's what Galaxy Zoo does. Yeah. You know,
that's
all those sort of things.
That's optimistic.
That's optimistic. I'm just saying there are ways around it other than just here's the style guide, and it doesn't necessarily need to be hyper accurate at first.
Sure,
but it will involve. I mean, you know, listening to each and every show, going back in, cataloging what beers we did, and if we did specific vintages, noting that and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it'll involve a lot of listening and building and interesting stuff. And I even want to do, like, if we did, like, what beer am I? I want to mark that out. You know, features that we did, if we did a what beer am I for this particular episode. And just so that even that data's there. I just like the idea of that data being there.
I disagree with you. I mean, I like the idea. I disagree with how Wiki is such a bad idea for this, because I think it's a lower barrier to entry for people to capture data. They can capture some or all the data. They can capture, you know, and things can be refined and iterated against. And it's, you know, if you have a decent text index, you know, it's fairly searchable. It's not going to be sortable in, you know, you're not going to be able to run statistics against the data like the thing you're building.
Right.
If I was banking on which one we could get better listener participation out of, see, it's hard to say. It depends on, like, how much data you want to collect. You're talking about collecting a lot of data, and you're going to have a very well-integrated UI to make all those different lookup tables and stuff easy to enter, easy to add things to.
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily going to open up the data entry to users. I could have them just send me the information via email, and, you know, concentrate on the UI bits for just searching and displaying, and just make really simple basic UI stuff for me to enter in information.
Sure, I guess. I mean, yeah. You'd have to, you know, spend a fair amount of time planning out the template, you know, the email template, you know, make sure you get the data you want. It's in a format that you can relatively easily manipulate into an importable file, you know, things like that.
So, I don't know if I'm going to go that far. I'm not going to import it directly. I just probably just copy paste. There's only 200 something shows. It's not going to be that big a deal.
But you're talking about collecting 150 data points for every show, you know? So.
Well, no, it's not going to get to that. That's what I mean. I was bringing that up as an observation of a way you could do it without style guides. But I don't think we have enough listeners to do that, because I think we need like 20,000 listeners and every single one of them to participate in order for the, in order for that sort of statistical thing to actually be workable.
Oh, yeah, I don't think the statistical thing would make sense. I, you know, if we got 24 hardcore anal retentive OCD type listeners, you know, like the ones that are listening right now, you know, maybe we could get a core of people to, you know, to be, you know, this data collecting, these editors. I don't know. There's still like a lot up in the air.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't even gotten into actually like writing it out. It's sort of all in my head right now, but I would like to do it. And we can definitely do a database on our website, right?
Yeah, you can use MySQL or PostgreSQL, whichever one you choose.
And we can then do, you said like Ruby on Rails or something.
Ruby
like
on Rails, PHP, Perl, Python.
I want to do PHP.
PHP would be the closest to what you are familiar with. And there are some MVC frameworks for PHP that you could use. I've used Cake in the past. Problem is, it's not high performance framework. Or, you know, if you need a high performance MVC framework, then maybe Ruby's a better way to
go. I kind of like building it all on my own. If I'm not doing like logins or anything like that, then I don't need to do anything crazy.
Well, have you ever used MVC? You know, Module View Controller.
Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty nice. It's great for rapid development and like a straight database website like this. It lets you really tie all the pieces together. You don't have to worry about tying up each loose end on its own, and it really is a nice thing to learn. You might want to, you know, if you want to learn something new, I would say go Ruby. You know, if I wanted to do something that I knew, you know, I would just do it in PHP again. I would probably stay away from Cake PHP, the MVC framework for it, at least that one, because I ran into some scalability problems the last time I tried to use it.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a very high access state of it. But, I mean, I like getting into the nitty-gritty. And I like getting into the background. And so tools to do that stuff for you have always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Even though they're actually great and they're better than what I could make myself.
I mean, this isn't like Dreamweaver writing code for you. This is a set of tools.
No, so. It's like jQuery doing Ajax for you for some certain things. And I wrote my own Ajax stuff, and it's a little bit it's not as refined as the stuff in jQuery. I know it isn't, but I know exactly how my stuff works. I don't know exactly how the jQuery stuff works. So sure. There's just that thing about me where I really like to, if I'm developing something from the ground up, I like to really do it from the ground up. I don't know, but I may decide to go with something else. We'll see.
It depends on how much time you want to spend.
Like, right.
You know, like, in short, what an MVC will give you, right, is once you create the class in the view, right, you automatically have the, if you're just doing straight tabular lookup, right, you have the list view, you have the edit form, the add form, the delete stuff, you know, that's all baked in together, right? And you don't have to go in and write all these input fields for editing the stuff, you know, you don't have to, you just kind of, that's defined, the type of field, the length of the field, stuff like that, it's all defined in a data structure, and you don't write, you know, less than input space type equals text. You know, you don't write that stuff.
Yeah. I can see how that would be appealing to certain people.
For certain people.
It,
you're reluctant to it.
I understand. I do. I just, there's a part of me that feels like it's cooler to do it on your own. And I don't know why. It's because I'm crazy. It's because I'm not. But I like the hands-on approach of building it, and then you sort of being able to go back and say, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember doing that. I remember how that works.
Well, if you want to do it from scratch like that, then I would say go Python. It's a great language to learn. I think you'd probably like it a lot. And you'll be able to do, you know, just CGI Python and write all that stuff, you know, from the content type equals text slash HTML, return down to the, you know, you'll be doing all that stuff from scratch if you don't use modules and stuff. And Python's a good language.
And I've used like ASP's MVC stuff, like especially .NET. I mean, because you can use, yeah, you can use forms and you can mm-hmm. use things to, you know, build tables that just send, you know, input the data and it will just push out your table and you can mm-hmm. then define little aspects of the table. And I always, I mean, I just, I feel like I have more control over it, even though, to be honest, maybe the ASP stuff is a little bit better. But then I could tweak things. I could tweak things to make them sparkly and shiny, and I can't necessarily do that with the MVC stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there can be limitations. Or you have to know the MVC stuff and all the options yeah. inside and out. Yeah, so if you want something like ASP where the logic and the output code can be escaped back and forth, then, you know, PHP is probably a good way to go. And if you want something that's more of a object-oriented programming language, you know, like C or Java, you know, Python is a great way to go.
Yeah, we might look into Python. Python would be a good idea.
Runs on Windows, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you definitely could be a versatile thing to know in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think Ruby's dying, right? I mean,
I haven't looked lately. I mean, it was the new hotness, you know, 4 years ago
yeah.
for all this Web 2.0 stuff. Everyone used Ruby on Rails. I never really... And it's Rails. You know, Ruby is a scripting language.
Right.
Rails is the MVC stuff, mm-hmm. right? And no one does websites... Well, I shouldn't say no one. Almost no one does websites in plain Ruby, right? They always take the MVC Rails type stuff to go with it. But then you have to, if you want high performance, you have to run it through a Mongrel web server. And that's probably not something we can do in Bluehost, but, you know, that's for yeah. screaming performance, you know, lots of caching and things like that, so.
Yeah, I don't expect we're going to be, you know, hitting like beer advocate numbers, so I don't think we need to worry about that. It's really just for an informational purposes and just because it'd be cool to have. It's mm-hmm. the only reason why I want to do it.
Oh, I think it'd be awesome to have all that data. You know, I would be happy. Say we got a grant to spend money, right? I would have a transcription firm transcribe all the shows and put it in just an indexable web search engine type thing, you know? You know, all the data would be findable there. It wouldn't be sortable and you wouldn't be able to run reports against it. But, you know, with a good search index, you could find all the stuff you want.
I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to be like, what are the beers that Jeff and Greg both said tasted like chocolate and were really good?
See, you're getting crazy there.
I know.
All these people, like, okay, so beer number one, then you have a field for, you know, you have all the data fields for the objective stuff, right? And then you're going to have a text field, like, where people can tag all the adjectives we say, you know? But if we have a full index search of everything transcribed, you're not going to be able to get that report back, but you're going to be able to do a casual search of, you know, where's the cat pee beers, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to get five or six results back of the shows, and then when they click on the link, cat pee will be highlighted, you know. I mean, that kind of thing is almost as good, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, getting picture-perfect transcription wouldn't be cheap.
So. Yeah, no, it's an ethereal fog in my head, but I think I'm almost certain I will be doing something. Probably at the very least, you know, the very first edition of it will simply be a listing of shows and beers and links of that nature, and it will, I'll make it so it can evolve from that point and keep going.
Microsoft's Mavis is an audio indexing software. Microsoft Research Audio Visual Indexing System.
Like Mavis Beacon teaches typing?
Kind of. But it indexes the, you know, you play your audio into it and it does an index. Google Audio Indexing, what is this?
It's boring is what it is. We shouldn't talk about it on the show.
It's the world's shortest wiki page. I'm surprised it hasn't been deleted. I was having a bit of a Twitter conversation with Groucho from the Beer Report.
Yeah, I saw that.
You follow some of that?
Yeah.
It's official. We are the longest running beer podcast in the world.
Really?
Everyone that I could find that came before us has not podcasted since 2011.
Wow.
So,
even like
good beer shows, long dead, haven't done anything since like 2010.
Basic Brewing?
We started just before Basic Brewing.
Huh.
We beat the Beer Report by about 6 months. They just took like a 8 month hiatus, so I don't know. I won't say they faded or anything, but that there's an asterisk on their chart for sure.
I mean, we've taken like month long hiatuses,
mm-hmm.
but never more than like that much. But I mean, we've gotten to a pretty regular schedule again now.
Podcast Alley is a wasteland of not maintained data, but if you search for beer podcasts on there, it's almost like it's like that last. Show of Survivor where you're walking past all your fallen comrades, you know, because you're like, oh yeah, I remember them. You click the link and the website's not even there anymore, or they haven't done a show since 2006, or you're like, oh my goodness, all these shows are gone. So.
Well, I mean, there's also things you have to put into it. I mean, people move, people,
mm-hmm.
People die.
It's also not to say that there's no beer podcast out there. There's tons of new ones. It's a churning landscape of things. There's always people doing new beer podcasts. We're just the ones that are too obstinate to know when to quit, I guess.
Exactly.
What I realized yesterday?
What was that?
I think our first show, I'm almost positive, our first show was on the 10th anniversary of when I lost my virginity.
Okay.
Almost positive. That I lost my... Oh, wait, no. The show was on the 6th. It was June 3rd or 6th? What was the first
I don't show? Know.
I think I lost my June...
Wait, show 1 or show 0.9?
0.9. June 6-3 or 6-6? 6-6. Shit.
All right, well, Jessica, I have to look this up.
But I'm pretty sure I lost my virginity on 6-3-95. I think that was the date.
Well, I've still yet to lose my virginity, so.
Oh, no.
No, mine was high school, but senior year. A little bit of a late bloomer.
Mine was at senior graduation, so you beat me.
Yay!
Say something.
Okay. Ruby on Rails. I have it written down.
Okay. So the date on the first show was... Yeah, June 3rd. I'm almost certain. Never thought of it until just now, but... Yeah, our 20th anniversary... Or our 10th anniversary will be my 20th anniversary of when I first had sex.
Whoop-de-doo.
I mean, something epic is going to happen on June 3rd. 2015, because something big happens every 10 years.
So something more epic than you having children? You getting... I mean...
But I haven't made any patterns out of that yet. I don't know when that... I don't know what the period on those epic mm-hmm. events are, right? But there's obviously a 10-year, a decadal period on something epic happening on June 3rd.
Why? What?
Why I got to figure out what happened on June 3rd, 1985.
Wait, why was... So June 3rd...
95.
You lost your virginity. June 3rd...
2005. We did first episode of Craft Beer
Radio. We did a test episode that we decided was good enough to put out.
Exactly. You're turning into the asshole from last week. Stop it.
No, now I'm just analyzing it. I'm trying to get to what's in your head.
I'm having fun. I'm fun. This is thing that humans do on occasion.
Yeah, but you got to understand that my fun is analyzing things.
Okay. So now I got to figure out what epic happened to me on June 3rd, 1985.
Right.
Because there's got to be something. I just got to...
I'm sure it was some kind of like the first time you had mint chocolate ice cream or something.
I'll ask my mom. What happened to me June 3rd, 1985?
She has an iatic memory, right? So,
no. She was like, were you alive then? How old were you? 20?
Well, let's see. Reagan was in the office. Cosby Show hadn't started yet, right?
Well, let's check Wikipedia and see what happened on June 3rd, 1985.
Definitely. I mean, probably I was watching Transformers. And and thinking how lame GoBots were, but how awesome Transformers was. Yeah, I don't know.
Massive anti-ETA demonstration in Bosquez.
There you go. You're right. Your theory proves true.
HistoryOrb.com doesn't have very many things for that date. It also says Brewers draft BJ Scherhoff number one, whatever that.
Brewers!
It's a sign. 20 years in advance.
Did your virginity have anything to do with alcohol? Alcohol must have been involved, right?
No.
Oh.
Yes, no. That was like the night of graduation. I don't think I had anything to drink that night. No, I don't think so.
Well, all right then.
Okay, here's the Wikipedia.
So the chain is broken. The
chain is broke. Nothing.
Maybe something related to... Maybe it's just the day you die. Just, you know, you're going to die June 3rd, one of these decadal points.
Nothing too epic happened on June 3rd, 1985, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, but they don't track it. It's not Jeffipedia, so it doesn't track your life, so you don't necessarily know what.
Some European footballer was born, but that's about it.
It's not close to your birthday or anything, so.
No.
Yeah. School might have still been in session. Might have.
Might have been the last day of school. I remember in elementary school, school usually ended like the first couple days of June.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, again, trying to find patterns in things that aren't there. That's right. Another human trait. So.
Exactly. Well, here I sit with my broken pencil, pondering the imponderable. Should we move on to the main show?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for listening to all this nonsense.
Do you want more?
Oh, there will be more. After.
Okay.